This is the Feet Into Worlds podcast. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. People immigrate for different reasons: economic insecurity, political instability, or the simple desire to see another part of the world. But when they leave their home country, they're usually leaving someone behind. Most immigrants know the challenge of keeping connections with their families. Some may be separated from their loved ones for years, straining those relationships. Nathan Yardy tells us how one family's ruptured bonds span generations and what it took for those wounds to heal.
When I first asked my wife Erica out on a date, she said, "Okay, as long as I get home in time to call my grandma." I thought, "Oh, that's nice. She's really close with the grandma." Later, I learned the real story. While they had known each other for years, the close relationship between Erica and her grandma came about just recently, and almost by accident. In their family, the need for economic survival led to decades of separation between parents and children. It's kind of a miracle that these two women, both from the Caribbean island of Barbados, but from very different generations, found each other in New York City.
Both sets of my grandparents lived overseas, and in some ways it was kind of exciting. They would send cards every Christmas, we would send cards, but then for certain special birthdays they'd also call me and send gifts. I didn't know very much about them until I moved to the U.S.
Erica's grandma Eunice settled in New York after first immigrating to the UK back in the 50s. 5 years ago, Erica also left Barbados to attend grad school in Illinois. It was only then that she started calling her grandma on a regular basis. And it was only after Erica and I moved to New York, got married, and started visiting her grandmother that we learned about the challenges that migration had brought to their family.
My name is Eunice Clark. I was married when I was 16 years. I had my first son when I was 17. Another son 4 years later. Then I had my daughter.
Eunice's husband was named Athiel. A few years after their daughter was born, Athiel left Barbados for the United States to find work. He didn't send money home. She was on her own.
I had one or two letters, but at that time, he was here, and that's it.
Eunice, as a young mother, struggled to provide for her children without her husband's support. She relied on her family.
Everybody was there to give me a hand. I used to get $21 every month and never go and put 20 in the bank.
But it wasn't enough. Soon, Eunice realized that to support her children, she too would have to leave the island and find work elsewhere.
I leave Barbados in 1956. It was very hard with that because I had to leave the children. And at least I had a job then I could send to them, things like that, and I felt better.
Her son Henderson was only 10. When she left. Henderson is my wife's father, my father-in-law. He still lives in Barbados. He and Erica talked over Skype recently about his mother leaving Barbados.
When my mother left, it was clear that it was about economics. Lots of people were going, funny enough, a few months before she left, one of our neighbors left as well. A lady went off to England. And I recall my mother telling her, "I'm not going to ever go to that cold place. I hear how cold it is. I wouldn't venture to live there."
But 6 months later, Eunice too was on her way to that cold place. That day still sticks in Henderson's mind.
I could clearly remember the sun that she left. She went by a boat called the Erpina. And I'm always telling her I could even see the clothes she wore. She wore what was called in those days a coat suit. Would be a skirt with an outside blouse of similar material with a white flounce, if you call it, around the tips of the collar and the armpit, and around the sleeve. Well, I could see her there. In those days, we didn't have a harbor. So you went off on a small ferry, and then in the distance, half mile away, you could see people going up the gangway to the boat.
After his parents left for other countries, Henderson had a strained relationship with them for a long time. He felt abandoned.
Yeah, I do remember, and I remember a degree of pain because you figured your father's gone, you don't particularly know much about him, and now your mother's gone, and you're at. So eventually, it took maybe a year or two before you realized, okay, you have to accept that your parents are not around. You know, I was left in the care of her mother.
But it wasn't just Henderson who was struggling. Eunice endured a lot on her own in England.
I worked in the factory. Clothes making, girdles and bras.
The separation also ended her marriage to Ithiel.
I divorced him in England, so that's how it goes.
And the whole time she was in England, she never came back to Barbados for a visit. For almost 2 decades, Eunice was not on Henderson's life except for the occasional letter.
She communicated by letter with my grandmother. Then she communicated with me as well. I wrote her letters. And it would take 4 weeks.
It was when she moved to New York that Eunice found herself among family again.
I leave England in 1972. And came to New York. And when I come here, there was still actually very close family. Here, my aunt was alive. Oh, she lived in the Bronx all along, because she used to write home all the time. My grandfather lived in the Bronx too. My grandfather was there, you know.
And then a complication. Ithiel was back in her life.
Yeah, he from the time I land here, Ithiel was around. I remember my aunt didn't tell him that I was coming. So after it worked out that he would come every day from work. And that's how it went. Till eventually we went back together. But I just don't know about that man.
Forgiveness didn't come easy. And some things just couldn't be forgotten.
One thing I can say. He was very respectful of me. We never argue like how some people be going arguments, because I hate arguments. But he just liked to do what he wanted to do. His problem, too, was the company he keep. Gambling his money. He wanted us to get married again. But I didn't want to. He bought the rings, $600. I put them away, and my wedding ring from him, he took it. But I was afraid to get married after I went through anything like that.
Despite the pain of their past, Eunice and Ithiel were able to move forward together. She was with him at the end.
He got sick, and he started first with the head. I noticed the funny thing in him. I see where he's not going to work, and I take him then to the hospital. And there's where it was something in the head. What they call it? Dementia. And he was like that for 5 straight years. I bathe him, I do every earthly thing. Till then, he get worse. Then after that, he had cancer. And then they sent him back to the hospital because he got worse, sent him back. He didn't stay long there. That's it. And that's how I take care of him. I do everything I could, do my best.
So Eunice and Ithiel eventually found their peace. But reconciliation with the rest of the family took even longer. Eunice's connections with her children were especially hard to restore. She and her son Henderson started to rebuild their relationship slowly after she moved to New York. After almost 2 decades of separation, he visited her in the city in the 1970s. Over the years, she made a couple of trips to Barbados. But it would take another 2 decades for them to truly reconnect.
I accepted her as mother maybe in the mid-90s, you know, like, that's your mother, that's, you know. But, you know, we really, as the years went by, we got closer and closer and closer. Nothing like eating my mother's food. You know, it is, you're 69 years old, and you're telling someone, well, I ate my mother's food today. You know, that is really a big thing. There are few people, and she's still capable of cooking a good meal.
But soon, Henderson was saying goodbye again, this time to his daughter. In 2012, Erica left Barbados to study in Illinois.
My thoughts were Barbados is 166 square miles. I wanted to experience the seasons. I wanted to gain more knowledge in helping kids with special needs. And I knew in order to experience those things, I would have to leave Barbados.
I didn't want Erica to know this, but I had a lot of concern. Well, she was already very young, a child, you know, and she was female. And she was not going to New York or Boston. The West Indians are in New York and Boston, you know. So it was a challenge.
Maybe he worried she would drift away from him, like his mother did all those years ago. But, as Erica's mother explains, this time, they wouldn't be completely cut off.
I was concerned about her going too, but we were checking every day because of the technology. So I felt, she's thousands of miles away, but it's like she's still here. And we have that kind of intimacy.
Erica struggled with the separation and all she'd leave behind. And yes, her relationship with her parents changed too. But unlike Eunice, who only sent occasional letters from England and the U.S., Erica actively worked to maintain the connection to her family.
In some ways, we became closer, you know. So we had more deep conversations. But certainly, I felt more like an adult, you know, my own. And they treated me more like an adult, you know. But it's also made me miss being there.
And, as Erica's mother said, technology made a huge difference.
I would Skype a lot of my friends and family living back at home. And then I also would talk with them through WhatsApp and Magic Jack. But I seldom felt lonely while I was there because I was constantly in contact with somebody from my home. I knew how my little cousins were doing in school and any struggles they might be having. I got pictures constantly of birthday parties and videos.
Away from home and living in a new country, Erica longed for family connections, even with all that technology. It was that longing that moved her to reach out to Eunice, her long-absent grandmother. At the time, Eunice was dealing with Ithiel's illness and passing, so support from family was comforting to her too.
I started calling my grandmother occasionally, and she started calling me as well. I think it just organically happened. We would just talk about what was happening. As we had those conversations, my grandmother and I became a lot closer.
All those years ago, Eunice left Barbados to provide for her children, but the family bonds were ruptured. Now Erica is looking after her grandmother, and they're both getting support from those rebuilt connections.
When she really wanted to move from where she was, and with my granddad, I was still in Illinois. And so added to the process of graduating and thinking about looking for a job and so on, I was also then trying to find options for her housing from a distance.
This is where I come into the story. Erica and I met in Illinois, started dating, and moved to New York City at the same time. We got married in New York. Now Erica and I make the trip from our apartment in central Brooklyn to the Bronx about every other weekend to visit Eunice. It's always a treat, as we usually come away with surprising stories and a few snacks for the train ride back home.
I feel like each time I leave my grandma, I learn something new. I feel incredibly blessed to have this time with her, that I could get to know more about her, and through getting to know more about her, I'm finding I'm getting to know more about myself. When I was 14, I got this key ring that described what my name meant. And one of the things on it was tenacity, sometimes described as stubbornness. And people often describe me, and they describe my grandmother as stubborn. And I usually say I'm tenacious.
Each time I talk with my wife, Erica, and her grandmother, Eunice, I learn something new about the strength, tenacity, and forgiveness needed to survive and stay connected through the process of migration. There have been long absences over the past 50 years, hurt feelings, and loneliness, but they have stuck together, and I am proud to now be part of this family.
Thanks for listening to this Feet Into Worlds podcast. The music in this episode is from Blue Dot Sessions and Lee Rosevear. Our executive producer is John Rudolph. Our editor is Rosalind Tordesillas, and Rachel Bongiorno is our managing editor. Our associate producer is Stephanie Rodriguez, and I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. Feet Into Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. Our supporters include the Ralphie Ogden Foundation, the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, and listeners like you. Support our work. You can make a contribution on our website at fi2w.org. Feet Into Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.